Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
It's the podcast to be.
What?
And we are.
All right.
Well, I don't know, it sounded better in my head.
What are we talking about today?
Do you want to shine bright like a diamond?
Do I ever?
We're talking about diamonds if you didn't guess from that very good joke.
Oh, very, very good.
I was going to be like, have you seen the movie Blood Diamond? But like, I haven't either. So I was gonna watch it for this episode, but
Have you seen the movie Blood Diamond? If so, email us at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com and tell us, what was it like?
Email me a 5x5 essay on what you thought and what it was about so that I know. All I know is that Leonardo DiCaprio didn't win an Oscar for it. Yeah, I was gonna watch it, but then I talked to the one friend I have that had seen it, and he was like, it will make you more stupid. It will make you less informed in the subject, so don't watch it. And good. I didn't.
Good to know.
So, if you want to get dumber, Blood Diamond. But you want to get smarter, so here we are. What's a diamond?
What am diamond?
Do you know?
It is advanced jet.
You're not wrong. I wanted to be like, wrong, idiot. But then I was like, oh, shit, no.
I learned that from our jet episode.
Oh, God, I literally taught you that.
You did. You taught me well.
God, created him. The monster, I know. No, Ken's not a monster.
Or am I?
That's up to you. Ken is in the movie Blood Diamond. A solid form of the element carbon, not unlike jet. It is the mineral with the highest hardness and thermal conductivity of any natural material. Put emphasis on natural. What differentiates a diamond from all other carbon minerals is their crystal structure, which is called a diamond cubic crystal structure.
Is that where they get the name?
It is. Tis. A common misconception, a diamond is not a more advanced version of coal.
What?
It is not. They are distinct carbon elements.
I've been lied to.
You have. You cannot make a diamond from coal. It has a lot to do with the source of the carbon. Coal is explicitly, organic. Well, okay, that was a bad way to say it. It's all organic.
I was gonna say, what the fuck is...
Coal is explicitly, like, bones and tissue. Where diamonds are not.
Well, that's horrifying.
Yeah. Wish you guys could have seen Ken's face. He really didn't like that revelation.
I mean, coal is now like 800 times more metal than I thought it was before, but like, Jesus.
Diamonds are very hard to create impurities inside of, except with boron or nitrogen.
Wait, going back to diamonds ain't coal, are you telling me that video I glimpsed on Tumblr where someone covered charcoal with peanut butter and then put it in dry ice? Are you telling me that video was a lie and did not in fact make diamonds?
It's very fake. Yeah. It turns out peanut butter doesn't make diamonds. Charcoal is also not coal. So, like, where they thought that was going to work at any step of the process is so beyond me. It's like charcoal's usually compressed ash and wood, which is different from coal in a lot of ways.
Are you telling me wood ain't carbon?
No, wood is carbon, but it's got a different structure.
Are you telling me wood ain't blood and tissue and bone?
Well, it's plant tissue, which can also comprise coal.
See? It is coal.
This isn't the episode on coal. That would be a much grimmer and sadder episode. Actually, this one's gonna get pretty bad.
I was gonna say, we're talking about fucking diamonds.
I did start.
I'm not a Scientologist or a scientician or a science of any kind, but I'm pretty sure that diamonds don't come from any place good.
They don't. Not to call you out, but did you briefly forget that Scientology was a thing when you said that?
I did.
Okay. I was losing it internally, like, oh my God, he totally forgot it's like a religion.
Listen, you... Trust me, you were freaking out externally too.
Yeah, I was. I was very excited. I guess either way, you're still not one.
It's true.
So the trick about diamond impurities, which are only caused by boron or nitrogen, is that they actually make them nicer. These impurities cause the colors in diamonds. So with diamonds, it just becomes a really complicated dance of what impurities are impure.
Oh, this should be fun.
It's just gonna get dumber. my goal here is to make everyone listening hate diamonds.
Let's go.
So, Diamonds also have a high optical dispersion. This is their ability to refract light across the light spectrum. They are very good at it.
Oh, sorry. You say optical dispersion. My brain is like, it makes eyes explode.
God, I wish. Well, then they would be very valuable indeed.
Oh, no.
Diamonds are far from the highest optical dispersion, however. In fact, some of the synthetics are so good at optical dispersion that they make bad fake diamonds because they're too good at it.
They look too sparkly.
They are too sparkly and beautiful. They represent too much of the qualities we want in diamonds to be considered a diamond.
You really weren't kidding about this getting stupider.
It's just gonna keep happening, I'm sorry.
All right, let's go. I'm...
Can you imagine saying something is less valuable because it's better in every objective way?
I am buckled onto this stupid roller coaster. Let's go.
Natural diamonds are all about 1 billion to 3.5 billion years old.
But D, the Earth is only 6,000 years old.
I thought you weren't a Scientologist again.
No. You're confusing Scientology with Christian Science.
Lumping all dumb together. My apologies to people who have families. I'm sorry, I don't respect
to everyone
religion.
Who has a family, we're sorry.
I'm just sorry about that.
Sorry about your family.
Okay. So they are really old, and like there is a level of diamonds that are really impressive when you think about that. However, so is coal, and we just burned that en masse. So, I guess, pick your battles. Very, very few of these natural diamonds are gem grade. When I say very, very few, this is in the grand scheme of things. That does not mean they're rare. More on this later.
A small percentage of a thing we have plenty of.
Yeah, basically. It's like that, like, only 1 in 10 people is a redhead, and you're like, well, that's actually a lot of people. It's quite a few. Diamonds can be synthesized, as I believe we covered that, talking about how good synthesis are, from pure carbon under high pressure and temp using chemical vape deposition.
So what you're telling me is that you can vape diamonds.
You sure can.
All right. New life goals.
Diamonds are heavily used in industrial production, as well as jewelry. I would argue that this is their primary value, because they are the hardest natural thing, although we have since created compounds that are stronger. My favorite fact, diamonds can decay and are actually somewhere in the middle of the road in terms of other gems.
Are you telling me diamonds can rot?
Yes.
This is the greatest thing I've heard all day.
And they will rot faster than certain other, what I'm going to just go ahead and call better gems, like sapphires and rubies. Because the carbon form is not infallible, it's a breakable form. So over time, they will degrade.
Can you just, like, real quick describe my face?
Delight tinged with maniacal glee? Tinged with what I can only describe as the expression that perhaps Dr. Octopus would make upon hearing this while he was actively making plans to create an item that made it happen at the speed of light. Nefarious, I guess.
You know me perhaps too well? But back to diamonds.
I thought this was funny because it means diamonds aren't forever. Oh, we're back to the maniacal glee.
I also really want to know what, like, a rotting diamond looks like, because I feel like it will feature into all of my goth illustrations from now on. It's just, like, a wedding gown, black with mold and blood, and just, like, a ring on a skeletal hand of tarnished silver set with a rotting diamond.
Well, they mostly just look like raw diamond. They lose their crystalline structure and become less brilliant.
Sick.
Yeah. They look more and more like coal, basically.
But they're not.
But they are not coal.
But they're not.
They are different. And now, here's a fun fact to lead into my next point. Sapphires are the most valuable gem, followed by emeralds and rubies.
I am reminded of a certain customer who burst into the store one day and out of nowhere said, "Bring me your sapphires."
Yeah. Well, like, the joke about that is that you can't do that anywhere because sapphires are, for real, very rare. If you have a sapphire, I near guarantee that it is lab created. Natural sapphires, natural sapphires are among the rarest stones.
But I can grow them, you say?
They can be synthesized fairly easily.
I have a new plan for the storage room in the basement, but go on.
Well, I look forward to it. I will buy in. Diamonds do not have intrinsic value.
But D, truly nothing has intrinsic value because value is simply rarity plus desirability.
Not strictly. You want a quick economics lesson?
The real question is, are you bringing in economics to derail philosophy?
Yes. A nihilist would have said, yes, I already knew that.
Economics, less painful than philosophy, by a slim margin.
It'll hurt less. So intrinsic value is actually like a concept, a real concept in economy. It is the value that is almost always less than the initial investment cost that the asset, here a diamond, will generate over time. For example, cars are a depreciating asset. Over time, without other influencing factors, they become universally less valuable over time and with use.
Cars are the ultimate money sink.
They are. And it is something that is very serious to consider when purchasing a car. If only people gave that consideration to diamonds.
I was gonna say, because, like, also, at least in our area, you can't get a fucking job without a car.
Yeah.
And a diamond is even less useful than that. Because I stand before you now as living proof that you can absolutely get a job without a diamond.
Yeah, I've had several. And diamonds are like cars. They strictly depreciate in value. In fact, they depreciate faster than cars, which is insane. A diamond loses half its valuable the instant you own it.
It's just like driving a car off the lot.
Almost scarily accurate.
Oh my god.
But the thing about the car and why that continues to be an industry is the car has a use, if not a value. So.
Much like me.
Now. the nihilist comes again. Not all gemstones store and appreciate value. In fact, few gemstones do.
Sapphires?
Sapphires do.
Ha ha! We win again.
Gold and silver, very famously, do hold and appreciate value. This is because they are what we call liquid and fungible.
I mean, I'm assuming when you say liquid, you don't mean they're relatively low melt points.
I don't mean that, although it actually has a little bit to do with why gold is what it is.
Oh.
Gold low melt temperature leads to its fungibility. Basically, this translates into, I'm not going to get into it like too much fucking shit, it means that they have a stable value at any given time. All gold is worth the same as all other gold at any point. That value will change, but all gold is held to that value.
If I hold gold in my left hand and hold gold in my right hand, both gold is worth gold.
Yes.
Got it.
And the gold can be traded for the sum of its parts. A pound of gold can be traded. This was a terrible example because I don't know what a pound breaks out into.
16 ounces?
Yeah. A pound of gold can be traded for 16 individual 1 ounce ingots.
This is going to be amazing when we release this episode and realize that a pound isn't 16 ounces, but for now, I'm pretty sure that's right, so we'll go with it.
I'm going to take it over. Hold on. Wait, no. 4 feet of gold can be broken down into 2 feet of gold.
Ho-ho!
Like, you can trade gold for smaller parts that equal the same. This is probably a smarter way to say this, but math was never my strong suit. And I've been learning the metrics, so, like, I'm all fucked up.
Monica is playing this for Dr. Mike, and he is just dying inside.
Steam is coming out.
We're sorry.
The fungibility and liquidity of gold mean it is an investment. It is more likely than not that it will appreciate in value, and if not, it will maintain a stable rate of value.
Hoard gold!
I'm not gonna say anything about that because I don't understand it that well.
Sell me your gold!
It's a bunch of Fox News advocates like, no, sell to me!
Sell me your gold!
I will buy your gold. The diamond market. Thanks to De Beers, which we will be getting into later, is not liquid or fungible. Liquidity is basically resalability. How much can you resell something for? Generally with gold, either the same amount you bought it for or more. Hence why it is a valuable investment. With diamonds, this is not the case. Diamonds also lack fungibility because you cannot trade a carat of diamonds for 425 carat diamonds. Because other aspects go into what makes a diamond valuable.
So what you're telling me is that a diamond is not worth diamonds.
Diamonds are not worth diamonds.
I mean, you warned me up top that it was gonna get stupid, but that is a level of stupid I did not predict.
It's pretty bad. Well, I'm gonna put logical in big air quotes here. Like, enough air quotes to take down the fucking Hindenburg. But, like, I was imagining the air quotes being made of air and taking it out of the sky, and all of a sudden this metaphor is, like, really laborious.
What? Okay. We'll go with it.
Oh, it's fine. Diamond's value is based on a rating assigned to them by a company that I will, can't stress this enough, is owned by De Beers. On four different, I'm not going to say facets because that's a fucking mistake.
Haha.
Actually, I'm going to say it. Four facets. Cut, clarity, carat, and color. They're individually valued. Like a comic book. They're individually graded. So they all have wildly different values.
I didn't realize we were grading comic books.
Oh, there's an episode.
All right.
Tune in.
Some other week.
How is a comic book like a diamond? Tune in some other time. When I have the time to do the fucking research. So that's an important part, though. The fact that they don't have any fungibility, and the fact that they don't have liquidity is also De Beers' problem. Initial markups for a diamond range from 100 to 300% of their wholesale cost.
So it's like printing money, is what you're saying.
It's like printing money, but only for you. Because the thing when you print money is that everyone can use it after they get it.
Well, no, because that's called counterfeiting and is illegal.
What? You were just really hoping that I would roll with it so you could say that, huh? Fine. I did it. What this means is that no one can buy back your diamond for what it's worth. Because they sold it to you for a lot. And if they bought it back, they'd have to openly admit that its inherent value is maybe a quarter of what you paid, if that. This is bad for business.
Sorry, I already hated the diamond industry and nothing is making me change that opinion.
Oh, it's gonna get so much worse?
Like nothing I've heard. Okay.
It's gonna get so much... I already hated it. But like, putting all these facts together on paper, just like, oh, I was frothing. So part of it is literally a conspiracy to keep you thinking that they're valuable is why they lack liquidity. Because no one will admit that they marked it up four times its initial value.
Are diamonds the Beanie Babies of gems?
They are. Successful purely through marketing.
Fuck.
The other problem is the way they were marketed from the get to now. Diamonds' intrinsic value depends on its quality as well as other factors. Diamonds are marketed and sold based on size.
Wait, hang on. So they're valued for one thing and sold for another thing?
Mm-hmm. When people are buying diamonds, very few people, except for snooty bitches and me, take into account things like clarity and inclusion. And cut is considered an aesthetic choice as opposed to a value choice, although it does play into value.
Because it alters the size, materially.
Exactly. So some cuts are made to enhance size, but are very poor cuts, speaking about value.
I hate diamonds.
Which affects their liquidity. Because it makes them less valuable. What you're buying is an asset that is worth less than what you should have been buying. It's already worthless, but we're just trickling down the ways it gets more and more worthless. Actual investment-grade diamonds, what we would consider... In a magical world where a diamond is an investment, there are maybe seven in existence.
Is one of them the Hope Diamond?
No. Hope Diamond is valuable based almost purely on size and height. Just like all diamonds, essentially. Hope Diamond is riddled with inclusions. They do exist, but they don't get sold. People just kind of have them. Just in case. I really don't, again, they lack intrinsic value, so it's never going to be worth anything.
Now, do you mean seven different kinds of diamonds are valuable, or seven specific gemstones are valuable?
I'm exaggerating, but I meant specific gemstones.
Jesus Christ.
There's no number on what diamonds would be considered actual investments, but it's very few. Handfuls. And they don't enter the market ever. They're not jewelry. Some of them can't be cut in a pretty way. The other problem, once the seller has the diamond, as far as anyone can tell, they make up the price off the top of their goddamn head. There is absolutely no consensus on what a diamond is worth once it is purchased at wholesale price. All of the work that goes into determining value on a diamond happens at the wholesale level, and after that, it is a fucking free-for-all. Without that kind of rigidity, the intrinsic value is meaningless.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is... Diamonds are stupid.
It's just gonna get dumber. God help us all. So diamonds, I mentioned, are valued by cut, clarity, carat, and color.
Mm-hmm.
The four C's it's called in gemology. These are all rated by a company that De Beers explicitly owns, so keep that in mind.
Who is De Beers? Because every time you're saying it, I'm just thinking of De Beers' sketch from Saturday Night Live.
I was really hoping you'd make that joke. The De Beers company, we're gonna get into them, is pretty much the only diamond company that exists anymore.
Oh, so the people in charge of bringing diamonds to market are also in charge of the system for determining that diamonds are worth anything?
Mm-hmm. Wonder how that happened.
Who can say?
It's impossible to know.
Eternal mysteries.
A lot of people will actually try to sell you on certification of diamonds. This is fucking meaningless. Because all of the companies except the AGS.
What's the AGS?
The American Gemological Society.
Okay.
They are mostly an independent scientific group dedicated to valuing gems. You can probably trust them. Ish. There are rumors they've been paid off by De Beers. I can't. So I'm not going to say that as a fact. But once I get done telling you about De Beers, you'll believe it. For rough pricing, a 0.5 carat diamond starts at $1,500. A 1 carat diamond is around $4,000 to $6,000. And a 2 carat diamond will range from $18,000 to $21,000.
For no good goddamn reason.
This is gem only, not counting setting, cut, and markup.
I hate diamonds.
Now, are diamonds rare? Basically, no.
I feel like nothing counts as rare once you can manufacture it in a lab, but I mean, I guess pearls proved me wrong last time, so let's hear it.
Alright. Gem diamonds are rare. Ish. Again, we covered this earlier. They are rare in comparison to the greater bulk of what we have. There are still millions of them. So how did we get here? Prior to 1870, gem diamonds were incredibly rare. Nobody knew where to find them, basically.
We were just, like, stumbling over them in the woods, happenstance-like?
In rivers, mostly. Alluvial plains, they call them.
Oh.
They would wash up, and very few of them were pretty, but a lot of them... Before the 1800s, they were valued on how useful they were. Diamonds are the hardest natural mineral. They could do all sorts of things, so even very early on, what you see, diamonds is mostly used for industry.
Because they can cut shit.
Because they can cut shit. Including other diamonds. Gem diamonds, very rarely found, very rarely worked with, and you tended to find them only in, like, royalty. So there was a time when there was a real scarcity that made them valuable as a gem. Very famously, in around the 1600s, the Maharaja of India had a crown covered in diamonds.
Damn!
And everyone was like, oh shit, you don't find them pretty, usually. You don't find them, usually. But, in 1870, an enormous diamond deposit was discovered in Kimberley, South Africa. Spoiler warning, the South Africans will see precious little of any of this wealth from here on. This deposit tanked the diamonds industry's worth. It could barely be called an industry. Suddenly, there were thousands of these things. And they were entering the trade as curiosities, and they weren't cool anymore. Enter Cecil Rhodes.
I don't know why, but that name is giving me an instinctive rage response.
Oh, that's good. That means your rage response is working. Cecil Rhodes basically invented the concept of South African land grabbing.
That fucker.
Yeah, he started it.
That fucker, okay.
One place, actually, I read the infuriating sentence that he, quote, lent his name to Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. Lent his name is a very fucking generous view of what happened.
Yeah.
He vocally hated the indigenous Africans, very famously likened them to barbaric children. He used military strength to further his agenda. If any British person tries to tell you that he didn't, he absolutely hired militants to kill anyone who tried to stop him from land grabbing. That was his actual power. The groups that would later cause issues even in current day Africa were created by him. He was quoted as saying, "I would annex the planets if I could. I often think of that. I dearly wish he had, because then he'd have died in space."
So we get H.G. Wells' time machine.
And we kick this shit, we kick him in the balls until he literally dies.
Let's go.
So he started buying diamond mines at an alarming rate. He realized that the only way to make diamonds worth anything was if people thought they were rare again. He decided he was going to control the source. By 1888, he literally controlled the entire known South African diamond supply, which at the time was the entire world's diamond supply. Again, and I cannot stress this enough, he did this entirely by invading with armed forces.
With any luck, the diamond mine collapses on him?
God, I wish that's what happened. He died of a heart attack.
Does it count as a heart attack if you get stabbed in the heart with a diamond?
Yeah, so you won't disrupt the time stream.
There we go.
This included the De Beers Company, formed by a pack of particularly ravenous and uncouth Dutch, that would later give the name to his entire conglomeration. The De Beers Company wasn't actually started by... Well, it was technically started by the Dutch, but as you know it, was actually an incredibly inbred Englishman. The fact that the English are proud of this man boggles the goddamn mind.
Wait, they're proud of him?
He was considered a national hero up until, like, I don't know, 2000. Some people still call it Rhodesia. They still aren't renamed the dogs.
I'm hate this man.
Yeah, I'm hate this man too. In 1902, a rival company, the name of whom has been forgotten to time, discovered a mine with a diamond source that rivaled every mine De Beers had. At first, they were bitterly fighting, and by some accounts, literally. There are a lot of accounts that De Beers got to where they did through actual murder and kidnapping, not just of the indigenous people, because that kind of goes without saying, unfortunately. Like, each other. Like, other companies.
See, I'm just picturing, like, two Edwardian toffs and, like, top hats and monocles and the whole shebang, each with, like, literal fucking armfuls of diamonds just, like, chucking them at each other.
Basically. Oh, you are less wrong than you want to be.
Oh, no.
So, after a couple of years, Ernest Oppenheimer came into ownership of the rival company, the Oppenheimer Company now. Oppenheimer realized Rhodes was onto something. He realized that the only value diamonds would ever have was forced scarcity. Control of the source was integral to diamonds being worth anything. And suddenly, thanks to the both of them together, there were a real lot of diamonds. Like, a lot. Millions of diamonds. So suddenly, he got really agreeable to work with De Beers. If this was cocaine, by now they'd be considered a cartel. A cartel is, loosely but effectively, an agreement between producers of a resource, product, or service to agree on minimum levels of prices offered for the resources to the general public. A cartel is also usually structured in such a fashion that its members follow the marching orders given by the leader, in this case, the De Beers Company.
So it's a diamond cartel.
It is a cartel, and by every definition.
All right.
Legally, including. We'll get to that later. So De Beers, when they were their newfound dogs, the Oppenheimers, started to punish and threaten every other diamond company into submission or collusion. If they didn't sell, they had to work with him. At the very least. And working with him was tantamount to selling. Because he owned you. If not legally, then spiritually. Companies that they don't buy, they drag into partnerships, and everyone else, they push out of business. From this, they created the Central Selling Organization, which still exists. This is a company owned entirely by De Beers. It is marketed as a neutral diamond ground. This is where diamonds are rated and packaged, and then later sold to distributors who will sell to resellers. That follows?
Yes.
Okay. The prices are set. The instant you disagree with them, you are no longer a part of the diamond industry. The CSO also bought its association with every single reseller. If you don't belong to the CSO, you don't have customers. In the 1960s, very famously, an Australian mine was uncovered that was full of colored diamonds. Very pretty colored diamonds. Intensely colored diamonds.
Sparkles.
The mine refused to cooperate with De Beers or join the CSO.
Fuck yeah.
De Beers flooded the market with heretofore unseen quantities of their own colored diamonds and started pushing ad campaigns to popularize colored diamonds. You still see this, I think most recently was the chocolate diamond. It was almost this exact same tactic. Do you like the De Beers company yet?
No, I don't like them at all. I much prefer De Beers.
De Beers.
De Beers.
Is a bad person.
Oh.
In the 1970s, a loose conglomeration of Israeli CSO members stockpiled the diamonds in an attempt to start their own, basically, and try to escape.
How'd that work out for them?
They were banned, giving them no customers, no credibility, and essentially no job.
Whoops.
In the 2000s, De Beers did famously relinquish its monopoly and settled an antitrust lawsuit in America for fixing gem prices.
Settled the lawsuit, which means out of court, they admitted they were wrong and paid money to hush it up.
They paid $10 million, which is maybe the price of one of their diamonds.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The fact that they continue doing what they do speaks to what a big lie this was.
I was gonna say, like, that's barely a show. Like,
it wasn't a very good one. Especially since you didn't know about this prior to now, did you?
No.
Yeah. It seems like that would make bigger news.
Hmm.
If it had actually happened, which it didn't.
Oopsies.
So, how does the myth of diamond scarcity carry on, even after De Beers said, oops, we fucked it. Enter toxic masculinity.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we're talking about a lot of things today. Diamonds are a really weird story.
Okay.
So we're gonna go back. We're gonna dial back to engagements. The Victorians are way into it because, like, one earl did it as, like, a declaration of his love, and posy rings happen, and just everyone's always giving each other rings. They were not diamond rings. They were just kind of rings. In fact, I think some of the most important and, like, valued engagement rings were engagement rings that had, like, something personal to the person. Posy rings very famously have poems inscribed on the inside. Thanks to this, and the fact that there were so goddamn many diamonds, pretty much they were impossible to sell for a really long time. He had created a monopoly with no market.
Oopsies.
And things kept getting worse. The Victorians wanted nothing to do with diamonds. And then through marching through the 19th century, you hit the Great Depression. The American market was basically their only market, and it was pretty weak. And then the Great Depression happened, and it pretty much died, alongside several million people. I'm not going to let that go, De Beers. De Beers needed to fix this. They realized that they needed to create a reason to make people want their worthless rock. 1938, De Beers hires one Gerald M. Lauck, working for Air Advertising. Famously, they worked on the ad campaign for Camel Cigarettes. And you know how well that worked out for everybody there?
We got Joe Cool.
We got Joe Cool. We got smoking kids. We got ads that unabashedly and directly tell kids to smoke. Basically, one act short of saying, kids, you should smoke. So that's the kind of fucking geniuses we're dealing with here.
Listen, I've heard that cigarettes can cure my asthma.
They can. And they sing of taste.
I thought you were going to say they can cure it because technically you don't have asthma anymore if you're dead.
That's true too. You don't have a lot of diseases when you're dead. So they determined that men buy most of the engagement rings. This was a holdover from general masculine issues. So then they decided, how do you get them to want your fucking worthless rock? Because for a very long time, when women wanted an engagement ring, they wanted something unique and personal.
Yeah, because the whole point is that the person is in love with you and you are in love with them, like, as individuals, coming together and knowing each other so well as to know each other's personal taste and pick out something they'll love forever.
Yeah, but what if we homogenized that?
I hate capitalism.
And you're gonna hate diamonds more than capitalism.
I'm getting the impression that they're intrinsically linked.
So how do you do it? You tell men that diamonds are the only acceptable stone, and anything less means you don't love her.
Anything less than a worthless, rotting rock means you don't love her?
Well, that's still a problem, right? So you gotta force two ideas. Better the diamond, the more you love. The other problem is, you gotta make women want it. How do you do that? Make sure the diamond makes you look good and successful. How? Just fucking tell people.
You can just say it?
You could just say it. Okay, they didn't outright just say it. They actually had a much more insidious campaign. They started incentivizing movie stars to wear diamonds in big dramatic love stories. Very famously, Marilyn Monroe had diamond jewelry at engagements, which at the time was slightly unusual, and they marketed it that way.
Was she not also the one to sing Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend?
Yeah. I wonder how that happened. Surely an advertising agency didn't pay her agents. They also sold stories to magazines with photographs of famous people giving and wearing diamonds, making sure that a diamond looked like a mark of not only enduring sweeping romance, but success.
So the Scientology comparison earlier was not so far off in terms of paying celebrities to endorse your product.
No, it actually wasn't. And in terms of being a huge fucking real conspiracy.
Fuck.
Yeah. They even got this royal family to start trumping up diamonds.
Diamonds. The Scientology of gems.
It's really bad. This was easy for the royal family because they already had a bunch. They weren't showing them off very much because they weren't hip or cool for a long time, but, you know, the royal family got lots of gems.
They got a lot of shit they didn't earn.
Yeah. Parts of Africa. Sloganeering. The phrase, a diamond is forever, invented in 1947.
But they rot.
But they do rot.
They rot faster than other gemstones.
Yep. I have a note here that says five ever. That means diamond is more than forever. Which, hit me up if you need a new ad campaign, De Beers. I am pitching, you love her five ever, that mean you love her more than forever. And a diamond is five ever. I wish you could see Ken's face.
I think
he's trying to put his glasses into his own brain.
I don't think I'm capable of feeling or expressing more disappointment than I am in this moment.
Yeah. Oh, you will.
Will I?
The story's not over yet. How did De Beers celebrate?
Killing people.
Because this was a huge success. Well, they've been doing that the whole time. It's not like a celebration. This was Tuesday. Within 3 years of the initial ad campaign, sales went up by 55%. During the Great Depression.
Fuck.
That's how insidious this was. It worked. And they thought, what if we double down on this idea? They started releasing ads that literally and specifically said, at minimum, a man should spend a month's salary on an engagement ring. No justification given, just saying the good and cool thing to do is that.
So that's how that old chestnut got started.
Yep. Well, It worked really well. People just started going, oh, is that how it works? Because people really want to be told how to love. Wow, that came out so much darker than I intended it to.
I was gonna say, Jesus Christ!
Well, people want to be appreciated, and people just want things to work, and being told how it will work in an uncertain time, it's very intoxicating.
People want to be told how to love.
They do!
D.
It's scary. So, when it worked, De Beers actually just tripled down and put out a new ad that said, actually, I meant 2 months. And continued to do this. De Beers literally made ads that said, you should spend a lot of money on our product because... And people bought it. And I'm not calling people stupid, I'm calling them manipulating and victimizing in a time of extreme unrest.
Real talk, can we use this marketing strategy on our Patreon?
Yes.
Okay.
You should be spending 1 month's salary on our Patreon.
Every month.
Every month. Why? Don't you want to look like you're doing well to us? Don't you care what we think of you? Insert photoshopped image of celebrity wearing ring with our logo.
poor Photoshop of Taylor Swift wearing an Antiques Freaks t-shirt.
Have Marilyn Monroe sing Antiques Freaks, this is actually my best friend. I lied when I said it was a diamond. Wait, that was Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, fuck, was it?
Yeah. I think we're all gonna get yelled at. We don't know our lady celebrities who sing.
If you know who the fuck sang Diamonds Are Forever, or Diamonds Are Our Girl's Best Friend even, email us at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com.
Diamonds Are Forever with Kanye West. Oh god, we're gonna get yelled at so hard by people who care about music. So, diamonds are doing great. What's the problem? Blood diamonds.
Oh.
We're gonna talk about how De Beers built its empire. We did touch on this. They used it with blood.
Yeah, I kind of got that vibe.
Like, again, when people talk about blood diamonds, they do weirdly tend to leave out that the De Beers company was started by actual, literal, specific violent incursions into other people's land. And, of course, what we do know about blood diamonds is that diamond mining was used as financial fuel for civil conflicts, started by the De Beers company, largely. So, usually, during times of extreme war, people will refrain from trading, particularly with countries that are inflicting human rights violations and abnormal levels of violence. De Beers didn't. They didn't care about any of this.
Well, no, they founded their fucking company on it.
Well, in a lot of cases, they started the conflict. Because a lot of the conflicts were started over control of the diamond mines. For who would be able to sell them to De Beers. Making De Beers very specifically culpable in a way a lot of people don't talk about for some reason. De Beers also purchased heavily into apartheid. You know, that good thing.
Oh, that.
Instead of letting companies suffer and fail during the apartheid, which would have possibly led to a quicker ending of it due to its unpopularity with literally anyone, De Beers decided to financially prop up the people holding it together by buying their companies off of them. Again, in a time when morally, people would not do that because horrible things were happening and generally we don't put our money there. De Beers doesn't care. Again, I cannot stress this enough. De Beers caused these problems. De Beers, in communities that didn't have what we would call cash economies, many of them being agrarian, De Beers started lobbying for politics that included taxes, introducing a need for cash. How would you get the cash? The only cash-paying jobs being De Beers mines. De Beers ended up manufacturing a kind of poverty to keep people working for them at incredibly cheap prices.
So De Beers' entire strategy for everything they do is just lie about how money works and then watch the cash flow in?
Pretty much.
Cool.
Taking societies that didn't need money and introducing a need for money against their will. Big surprise when a lot of these civil conflicts actually started because they wanted the mines back. Because things kind of sucked when you introduce an unnecessary amount of capitalism specifically to keep them working for you. And when you don't know how capitalism works, you work for pennies. Add to this the fact that the mines had very little oversight, introduced many, many horrible, horrible human rights violations. It has been famously said, and I stand by it, there is no diamond that isn't a blood diamond.
I mean, at this point, yeah, you're not wrong.
The whole thing's pretty fucked. So, I'm really sorry if you already have one, but I do want you to feel bad about that. It's a huge problem. Gemological oversight is a monstrous need. The Kimberley process doesn't work.
What is the Kimberly Process?
The Kimberly Process was introduced in the late 2000s when blood diamonds became a hot social issue. Although, again, still eschewing most of the, like, really important things such as we introduced these conflicts as colonizers and all that. And decided that you would just ban trade from countries that were engaged in civil wars and had diamond mines. This didn't work because the black market exists. The black market propped up almost strictly by De Beers.
Oh.
And because it turns out if you have enough money, you don't have to abide by the Kimberley Process. And it worked so poorly that the UN abandoned it, meaning that there was even less oversight to make sure it was working. Again, I say, there is no diamond that isn't a blood diamond, unless you got it yourself. And even then, I'm not really sold on that concept. The obvious exclusion is that I think there are some fairly new mines in Alaska that have largely been operated ethically. Those diamonds are prohibitively expensive.
And not to get, like, too weird about it, but those are also on stolen land by default, but you know.
Well, you know. Well, I wanted to say that, but then I was like, I'm recreating a really grim picture. There's also the fact that the concept of diamonds as any kind of symbol of your love, life, and success is a lie that was sold to you just to make you feel bad.
People like to be told how to love?
Yeah.
I believe was your phrasing?
Yeah, yeah.
People want to be told how to love?
It was the Great Depression. Look, a lot of things were going really wrong, and it made for a really, really impressionable society, and that spread horribly to the point where it became ingrained, and we don't even know why it is. We have no idea why we do it. Why do we do it? You walk up to any person. I asked a man once why he spent, I think it was $20,000 on a diamond. No answer. Just, oh, he wanted the best. I pointed out five gems I could think of off the top of my head that were worth more, and said more about the person that you are. And he just said, well, diamonds are what you get, right? There are very few expressible reasons to have or want them. I can give you reasons why I like other gemstones. Personal meaning, aesthetic, interesting history, interesting geology. Nobody can give you any of that with a fucking diamond. Maybe a couple of gemologists are fascinated by their age.
I mean, there is an interesting history to diamonds, but I'm not sure I'd want to meet the kind of person who thought that was cool enough to put it on their finger.
Yeah, well, yeah, it does make a pretty bad selling point when you popularize that. And that's why I wanted to say it here.
So, not to be that asshole, but this is an antiques podcast.
Yes.
So what does this have to do with antiques?
Diamonds are antiques by every definition.
Are you saying that things that are 6 billion years old are more than 100 years old?
Yeah, they are. Well, a very popular alternative to buying diamonds is buying antique diamonds, because they don't enter in that trade.
Or at least the money changing hands is removed from De Beers?
Yep.
You said this began in, like, the 1870s.
Yeah.
So you would have to buy a diamond ring older than that to escape the blood diamond trade entirely?
You would, yes. But buying it secondhand ensures that your money isn't going into that corporation.
That's something.
So, depending on how you feel about it, this is very personal, I understand. But once things hit the secondhand market, they are A, much cheaper. Here at the antiques industry, we know there's no intrinsic value. We sell it to you purely on beauty.
So, and age.
And age.
So upsetting, mostly.
Well, yeah. Upsetting. Which will tell you a lot about a diamond. Buying an antique diamond means that you're actually buying it for what's actually valuable about it. Its age and how pretty it is. I have seen some really stunning diamonds go for less than $1,000. And I'm talking full carat. Because again, they have no intrinsic value and we can't resell them for much.
Counterpoint, a second-hand market does not exist without a first-hand market.
That's true. But here where we are now, we can't go back and dismantle it.
We do have H.G. Wells' time machine.
Well, we can do it then.
A diamond-edged knife that I forged specifically for Rhodes' heart.
And then we'll talk about that. But right now, there is a secondhand market. I don't, like I said, maybe this is controversial. I think it's a much better choice.
Of the two choices, it is the less horrible choice.
I think the best choice is actually to buy synthetic.
Ooh.
Because that is what is actively harming the diamond industry. De Beers didn't give up its monopoly strictly out of a sense of guilt. It was largely because the increasing popularization and cheapness of manufacturing diamonds has literally driven them to starvation.
Synthetic diamonds, you say?
Synthetic diamonds, they exist. And they are ethically created in a lab by people who get paid.
And not automatically owned by De Beers.
Nope. And not taken from stolen land. They're just made. Just some carbon and vaping. So purchasing those is actively harming, you know, I know we have to play by capitalism's rules, If you just get rid of your desire to have a natural diamond, you are automatically hurting them.
And really, the difference between a synthetic and natural diamond is so, like, it doesn't affect the physical qualities of the diamond in any way that I know of.
Exactly. It's true. They are near impossible to distinguish.
So, synthetic?
So, synthetics. Do you want to learn how to identify synthetics?
Sure.
You can't.
Oh.
Because they're diamonds.
You got me good. You got me good.
Oh, I was really hoping that joke would take. Pretty much the only way to derive a synthetic diamond from a natural diamond, which I hate that because a synthetic diamond is still a carbon pressed into a specific crystal structure, which makes it a diamond.
Yeah, that's how.
It's natural. It's
that's
from
how diamond be do.
A old diamond? Like, pretty much carbon dating is the only way to be certain. That's it. The only is knowing how old it is will tell you if it's a diamond that someone died for. If that's important to you. And, like, I hope that sentence made you feel bad if you said it was. If you want to avoid fake diamonds, which is just gems that are cut to resemble diamonds that are not diamonds in any sense of the word.
And might be worth more than actual diamonds,
they
honestly.
Certainly look nicer. you're also shit out of luck. Pretty much the only methods of testing are inane. I don't understand how they work. No one with any import has ever said they work. There is the fog test, which is when you breathe on it. Supposedly a real diamond won't fog. Which doesn't make any sense because they're excellent conductors of heat and electricity. Or the water test where you dunk it shouldn't float because it's hard and heavy. Which also, like, a lot of things are. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, most metals are. So, like, if it's already in a setting, it's gonna sink because metals is heavy.
I think they're assuming that you pulled the diamond out of its setting, which is already kind of insane.
So you rendered it even more worthless than it already was.
Yeah, you're really just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic at this point. The hardness test is very bad. Every hardness test is very bad. Diamonds aren't the only gem above glass on the Mohs scale, so stop that. Like, I'm pretty sure most quartzes are also harder than glass. Lots of gems are.
So, if you're doing the scratch a window or mirror with it test, all you're really doing is confirming that it's not glass?
Pretty much, yeah. You're just saying, you're basically just telling, giving the glass what for. Just like, yeah, you're not as hard as most gems. Like, cool, really showed that. They're also not especially unique in their refractivity to an untrained eye. If you're not a gemologist or someone who cuts diamonds for a living, you can't see it. All the other hardness tests involve literally destroying the gem, and just because it isn't a diamond doesn't mean it's worthless. So don't do that.
So, okay, what? The shop sells diamond testers.
Yes.
So what the fuck do those do?
Well, the problem is that when people are talking about testing diamonds, they are leaving out synthetics. They usually do not want synthetics. Those test positive. A couple of fakes, things that are not diamond but resemble diamond, moissanite and cubic zirconia, are now being manufactured that they pass a lot of diamond testers. Moissanite very famously. And there's the new lab ones, which everyone considers not real diamonds, even though they are chemically a diamond. They all test positive. So it's a good first step to identifying a diamond, if you do want to get on that secondhand market. It's a good first step. It is not the final say. You could still have moissanite.
Which, again, is just as good, if not better?
Better. One of moissanite's failings is that to the trained eye, they refract light better. They are pretty. Or, like, if you see one that's too pretty, a good chance it's moissanite.
So if your diamond is good at being a diamond, it's not a diamond.
It's a less valuable diamond, certainly.
Why are we even here?
I wish we weren't here. Why are we here? Just to suffer?
Apparently.
Pretty much, the only way you can be certain of a diamond is high-end testing through laboratory screenings and intense gemological and jeweler screening. Pretty much, a jeweler will have a trained eye enough to say, what is it is not a diamond. Some amateurs will give you a good lead on it. I'm actually pretty... This sounds like really, like, self-aggrandizing. I'm really pretty confident in my ability to identify diamonds from things that aren't diamonds. I can't tell moissanite or any of that shit, but if you hand me, like, two white rocks, I could probably tell you which one is and is not a diamond.
So you're worried that on the antiques podcast that we started because you're an expert in antiques, you might come off as though you think you are an expert in antiques?
Listen, I'm a humble person. I like to talk myself up. One of the testing methods I read said in all seriousness that you should superheat it until it's destroyed, and if it is gone, it is not a diamond. Which is a very, like, if she dies, she wasn't a witch kind of situation. Because this will also destroy sapphires.
No!
Which are very valuable.
The sapphires?
There's the UV light test. Lots of diamonds glow blue. Not all of them, actually. There's very little information as to why they do that.
Just cause.
So again, maybe a good like lead into what you should get professionally tested, far from the final say. I honestly go by diamond tester. I think if you just get a diamond tester and it gives you a positive, you sell it for like a couple hundred. You sell it because you got a pretty rock. A pretty rock made out of a nice rock. So that's my official stance on diamond testers. I like them. They're easy.
My official stance on diamonds is go buy a sapphire.
That is also, well, and my real official stance is like, why not, I know we can't ditch engagement customs entirely, but why not get something that actually symbolizes the people that you are and the love that you share?
Like a posy ring?
Listen, any partner you have will melt into a puddle and you will regret doing it because they will be dead. If you give them a pretty ring with a stone that they appreciate with some sort of inscription that is meaningful to you, they will explode. That is how much they will love it.
Or you could just go like full Celtaboo and get a Clotta ring.
It's so romantic.
It's literally two hands holding a heart. What more do you fucking want?
It's holding a heart and it's like, this is the heart. You can have it. What? Why aren't you doing that?
It comes from like an ancient historical tradition and blah, 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 blah. All that shit that you care about diamonds for. It's just fucking...
Yeah. There are...
I guess what I'm saying is develop taste.
There are lots of beautiful... if you wander outside of your limited scope, there are lots of really beautiful wedding traditions that have nothing to do with diamonds. Try one of those. I've always been kind of a sucker for the hand-down jewelry when it's not a diamond. It's a diamond that's a little cheapened. But, like, the grandma's ring? Very sweet. Just come on, get creative. Like, can we all just, like, love each other in a way that's organic and not controlled by a company?
But D, people want to be told how to love.
So this is gonna haunt me. Someone's gonna make an image macro of that one.
I am going to Michael's. I am getting a blank t-shirt and a tube of fabric paint, and I am putting it on a shirt for you tonight.
I will not wear it. I have a respectable job. I will accept that you maybe write, like, a couplet that's really dark and put it on DeviantArt and title it that.
I will get you a posy ring.
Oh!
And inscribe it.
Oh! I want posy rings back, like, so bad.
I mean, me too, but
their whole concept is that they were handcrafted with a single specific person in mind. And, like, I'm gonna be real with you, getting a piece of jewelry handcrafted is actually way fucking cheaper than most things. Certainly a diamond.
I can direct you towards several Etsy shops that will do it, and do it very well.
Ah, beautiful rings on Etsy for, like, what, $300?
Yeah.
Granted, that is a month's wages for me, but I'm poor. So... yeah, I just, I'm over it. We all should be over it, culturally. Let's get over it. America, you and me, together.
So I guess what we're trying to say is fuck diamonds.
Fuck diamonds, except the antique ones, I still like those.
Alright. Sources?
Sources. For more information on how bad this shit sucks, I do recommend freedocumentaries.org/documentary The Diamond Empire Oppenheimer Family's Cartel and Artificial Scarcity. It's a free documentary. The De Beers Company did try to suppress it, so you can enjoy that while you're watching it. And it has a lot of information on everything bad they ever did and how diamonds are bullshit. Other sources include priceonomics.com/diamonds are bullshit. There is aei.org/publication/ on the economics of diamonds, the biggest marketing scam in history orchestrated by the most successful cartel ever. I don't know why they made that the URL.
I mean, it really says it all.
It does. Medium.com/nondisclosure/a diamond is forever.
That's wicked fucking good.
It's really good. Time.com/blooddiamonds. EWTN.com/library/business/antdebrs.htm, which is a really great essay that links back to some source books that are very fascinating. So that's it.
If you want to talk about how fucking bullshit diamonds are, you can email us directly, antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com, or you can stop by our Facebook page at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks and join our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends.
If you want to be passive-aggressive at me for slagging on your diamonds, don't.
For fine vintage goods, you can check out our Etsy at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks. And we also have stickers and t-shirts with the podcast logo on them.
Yes.
And we will soon have posters from Attack Bear Press.
Yes. Very excited about that.
Where you can display your willingness to fight D behind the Denny's in Fall River.
And you should.
You really should.
I'm really hoping they make a poster that's just like, people want to be told how to love. It's the worst thing I've ever said.
It's pretty great. For deleted scenes, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. And we also have the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month.
And that postcard is very valuable.
Unlike diamonds.
That's true. A, that's true. B, also because I said so.
Thank you to our current patrons for supporting us, paying our hosting fees, and keeping the podcast lights on.
A smooch smooch, we love you.
And thank you for listening.